All right, Brian, we talked about why we are confident that Notre Dame is going to win this game. But like we've highlighted throughout the entire week of conversation that we've had so far surrounding the national championship, there are areas of concern, and you are playing against a really, really good Ohio State football team. And you and I highlighted some areas that we believe are, you know, if Notre Dame does not win this game, or if some of the final score predictions that end up a little bit more lopsided or whatever have you, end up turning out the way that they are, here's some areas of concern that we do have, right? The first one, Brian, that you had down that was on yours was not being able to control the line of scrimmage.
I mean, that's it, right? And what does that mean? You've got to win on this stage, you've got to play your game. Ohio State wants to win on this game. They got to play stifling defense. They got to be able to throw the ball downfield, and their run game has to be a really good complementary group. That this isn't the J.K. Dobbins Ohio State run game. It isn't. This is an offense that can go for a buck 50 and light you up for 40. They showed that against Tennessee. They didn't put up a ton of yards against Oregon either. It's like, what, 160? Something like that. And ripped up that offense because they are complementary players from a run game standpoint. Now, they're big-time players. You know my feeling on Trayvon Henderson. I think he's an absolute dude. But this isn't, you know, this isn't Ezekiel Elliott offense. This isn't the J.K. Dobbins offense. It's just not that. And that's not an insult. It's just like that's what they got to do to win. Well, for Notre Dame, you got to do what got you here to win. And if Notre Dame's not able to win this game, it's the first thing I'm going to look at is going to be that they just don't win on the line of scrimmage. They got to dominate at least one side of the ball. Now, their offensive line did not win the battle against Georgia, but their defensive line was even more dominant against Georgia than the Georgia defensive line was against the Notre Dame offensive line. At least one of those has to dominate in this game. Ideally, you need to win both battles to really win this game. Because again, this isn't Georgia. Ohio State's a better team than Georgia. I have no problem saying that. So, you look at the Penn State game last week, Trev. I believe this was my number one thing last week as well. And in the first half, Notre Dame did not win the battle line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. They fell behind 10-3. What changed in the second half? They did dominate the line of scrimmage, especially on offense. They won the game. Right? Outscored them 27-14 in the final 31 minutes of the game. So, to me, I look at this matchup, and it really is simple. If Notre Dame dominates up in the trenches, they'll win. If they win the Battle of the Trenches, I think they win a very close game. If they don't win the Battle of the Trenches, Ohio State's going to win. I mean, it's that simple to say. Obviously, how it's carried out is more complex and all that, but just from a big picture standpoint, if Notre Dame's not able to win this football game, I think we're going to be sitting here at the end of the game saying, even it's like, man, did you see Jeremiah Smith went off and he's so great and then Emeka's so good? I'm like, yeah, they are. But this is what we talked about. It's not about them per se. It's about you couldn't get to the quarterback. That's why those guys rip you up, because you can't cover them all day. And man, you know, your offense at Notre Dame couldn't do anything. It's because they couldn't protect Riley Leonard and get the run game going. Well, Jeremiah Love didn't do anything. Why? Because the offensive line got whooped. Because if they don't get whooped, you know Jeremiah Love's going to go off. Same thing on the other side of the ball. If the offensive line for Ohio State wins that battle, I promise you Trayvon and Quinshon are going to have three or four gash runs. And then, boom, over the top, touchdown. Because you got all day to throw off a play action. That's how it's going to go if they can't win in the trenches. We could honestly end that conversation there and not do 2-3, but there are a couple other things that I'm concerned about. That even if you win the Battle of Trenches and you don't play well here, you could still end up losing. But I think the odds of losing are much, much, much less if you win the Battle of the Trenches.
Well, it's the philosophy of them as a program, right? Be offensive and defensive line driven. And that's something that Marcus Freeman has preached on day one since he took over the head coaching position at South Bend. Right. And so that's something that has to hold true at the very least one side of the ball. Brian, to your point, you said at least one, ideally both. But Notre Dame's offensive line didn't win the line of scrimmage battle against Georgia's. So what was the offset? Their defensive line had a day. Right. So if your offensive line legitimately
Georgia tackles up,
really, man, I mean, if your offensive line isn't going to win the line of scrimmage, what Notre Dame's D-line did to Georgia's is they made them not win the line of scrimmage even more than what Notre Dame was not doing on offense. That's the offset, right? You have the case in point of the first half against Penn State in the Orange Bowl and the second half against Penn State. So controlling the line of scrimmage is huge. Sticking with the theme of what happened in the Orange Bowl and controlling the line of scrimmage, my number one was not being able to stop the perimeter run game for Ohio State. This one for me was a little bit more geared towards Travion. Not a shot at Quinshon. It's just that that's the style of runner that Travion is. Quinshon, he does bounce some on occasion. They don't really design him on that many stretch plays. A lot of it are like counters or broken plays that he bounces to the outside, especially if the defensive ends don't hold good contain. People aren't funneling it back into the teeth of the defense. But I've said it all week, and I've been very high on Travion Henderson. Brian, you said it, that this offense is clicking and this offense is much better when it's focused around Travion Henderson.
Yeah, as far as making him a playmaker.
Yes.
Travion's not going to be a 20-plus touch guy. I mean, you may do that in this game because it's like, well, you got nothing to lose. There's no game after this. You don't have to save him for anything. But they've done a really nice job, much better than last year, of like pacing him. But there are some games where it's like they just kind of put him in and he carries the ball and that's really it. What they've done in the postseason is he's been more of a focal point where when he's in the game, they're calling stuff for him to hit.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't think they did that a whole lot in the regular season at times. And that's why I said I get frustrated watching it. I'm like, why aren't you getting this guy the ball? And it's like how Notre Dame used Chris Tyree last 2 years. It's like, when he was a running back, it's like it's not that Chris Tyree's not a good back. He's good at certain things, and you got to let him do those things. And when you're bringing Chris Tyree in the game and running duo all game, you're not doing what he does well. Travion's obviously a much better running back than Chris Tyree. That's not the point. I'm talking about, like, he's good at certain things. And when they allow Travion to play his game and the run game is geared towards what he's good at, you better hope you dominate the offensive line, because if you don't, he's going to – because Travion can do in 5 carries what Quinshon needs 12 to do.
Yep, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, Travion is a kid. I mean, number 32 can take it to the crib from anywhere on the field.
He's like the Notre Dame backs. And like
he is.
Singleton, yeah.
He is. He's like 4-24 in blue and gold. He's like Nicholas Singleton for Penn State. I mean, he's electric when he touches the football. So one of my fears is if Notre Dame is not able to set the edge like they were able to do in the first half against Penn State, it's going to look extremely similar. And it could be worse, right, because of the different ways that Ohio State can start to hurt you on the perimeter, something that Penn State did not have the ability to do, right? So that to me is my number one. Brian, your next point was Notre Dame is not able to win the situational battle.
Yeah. Like, there's the little things in the game that you don't often think about. There were, you know, Notre Dame didn't run the ball great against Penn State. They didn't do a great job of protecting Riley Leonard all the time. But, man, they were great in the moments they needed to be great, right? And what is a team that's not been very good on third down all year was great on third down. You're facing the number one red zone defense in college football in the semifinals. Now you're facing the number two red zone defense in college football. And when you play, in those moments against Penn State, Notre Dame went 2 of 3 with 2 touchdowns against Penn State. When Notre Dame got inside the 10, they needed, three plays to get 2 touchdowns against the number one red zone defense in the country. That's situational football. You know, when Notre Dame fell behind against Penn State, they gave them short fields. Both interceptions gave Penn State somewhat short fields. The first interception gave Penn State the ball to 42, their own 42. The second one gave them the ball in Penn State territory. Penn State had the one long drive, the 190-something plus yard drive. But outside of that, they couldn't consistently go 80-plus against Notre Dame. Situational football, part of that is field position, winning the field position battle. You know, being great in coverage on kicks, on punts. You know, not being in a situation where you are allowing them to get big returns. You're not allowing them to, you know, block a punt. You're not allowing them to, pin you inside your own 10 on a kickoff because you brought it out when you shouldn't have or whatever. Those are all things that are situational football. The turnover battle is situational football. Those are all things under situational football. If you're able to move the ball on third down and stop Ohio State from moving the chains on third down, it greatly enhances your chances of winning. if your red zone drives into touchdowns and their red zone drives in field goals, you've got a great chance of winning this football game. If you're great at winning the field position battle and they're not, you got a great chance of playing and winning this football game. It's those little things, that situational football, that to me is huge. And I think that's the same kind of theme as what your number two is, Trev, when you talk about winning the key moments.
Yeah. Mine's a little bit more big picture. It's a little bit more broad. Could not be more on board with what you said about situational football, because that's what got Notre Dame here. It's winning the middle eight. It's winning in the red zone. It's winning on third down. You know, they went 11 of 17 on third down against Penn State. It's fantastic. For me, when you have two teams, and I said this earlier this week, when you have two teams like Notre Dame and Ohio State going at it, and matchups are even across the board or for the most part, right? It's a team that's able to win the key moments. And I know we're not really drawing too much comparisons to the last year's game because they are completely different teams. But there were moments that Notre Dame didn't capitalize on that would have won them that football game, right? DJ Brown had an opportunity to pick off Kyle McCord on that final game-winning drive that they had, and that would have iced it. The game would have been over right there. Notre Dame trots out onto the field. They take one knee. They're singing the alma mater. You know what I mean? You know, Notre Dame's offense had the opportunity. They had to get one first down, a single first down, and there's not enough time left on the clock. Those are the moments. Now, you go through and you look at what they did this postseason, and they did win those moments. They did win those situational football moments. You know, against IU, you throw an interception on your first offensive drive. You're backed up on your own two-yard line. J-Love takes it 98 to the house. Your defense gives you a short field in the Sugar Bowl. Offense capitalizes one play, 13-yard touchdown pass to Bo Collins. Need to keep the momentum going. You get the ball to start the second half. Georgia's defense just went in and made halftime adjustments to slow down and continue to slow down Notre Dame's offense. Jaden Harrison took it 98 yards to the house. Against Penn State, something had to change. Something had to turn around. You had to win the moment. And not only did you have to win the moment, you had to overcome adversity of losing your starting quarterback, your left tackle earlier in the game, and your right guard on the same drive. And they went down and put points on the board. And so Notre Dame has shown this postseason that they are capable of winning the big moments, the key moments that they haven't in recent games. But if they're not able to do that against Ohio State, is this the game that's where it starts to come up short, right? Do they not pick off Will Howard when they have the opportunity to? Because he will. Look, he's performed well this year. Will Howard does also put the ball in harm's way, and other teams have not been able to capitalize on turning him over. Can Notre Dame do that for the 15th consecutive game? They forced at least one turnover in every single game since September 7th consecutively, and they forced two against Texas A&M. So can Notre Dame do it? If they're not able to and capitalize on those key moments, that's another outcome that I could see them not being able to. And one thing, Brian, that kind of leads into your next point is if they're not able to win those key moments, they could end up falling behind early and they just might not be able to catch up. So
you can come from behind on Penn State. I don't know that you, I've said this all week. Can you come from behind on Ohio State? Of course you can. This is a good Notre Dame football team. Do you want to test that theory? No, you don't. Can Ohio State come back on Notre Dame if they fall behind 17-3? Sure, in theory. Does Ohio State want to test that theory? Highly doubt it. And why? Not because neither offense doesn't have big-time playmakers who can score quickly. It's because you don't want to get that defense to where it can just kind of pin its ears back and just come at you. Like, that's where it is. I mean, that's where a lot of these similarities are, is like when these defenses, like, it's a pretty gruesome analogy, but like when they smell blood, when there's blood in the water, man, they're hunting. You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, dinner time. That's how they are, both of them. And so if I'm covering Ohio State, this is one of my three big concerns in this game. You can't let Notre Dame get on you early. You can't go into halftime down 17-6 or 20-6 or 17-3. You can't. If you're behind Notre Dame at halftime the way Indiana is, your chances of winning are not going to be great. You don't even really want to be behind 13-3 like Georgia was. Now, Ohio State's more capable of coming back on that if Notre Dame doesn't do anything offensively. But the point is, neither of these defenses are groups that you want to fall behind. And the other thing is, if you fall behind Ohio State a couple scores early, it means your defense isn't making stops. And that's a bad sign. So you talk about, how do you lose this football game? We talked about not controlling the lines. We talked about, you know, not being more physical. We talked about not being good in situational football, turning the ball over. All of that results in Notre Dame falling behind early. And I don't mean fall behind early like you're down 14-7 or 14-10. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're down 14-3 at the end of the first quarter and they've got the ball. That's not where you want to be. You know, that's not really where you want to be. And that's not where Ohio State wants to be either. So that first quarter is going to be key for Notre Dame. And one of the interesting things about this matchup, Trevor, is Ohio State is a very interesting team in that they've been a very good first quarter team at times, and then they kind of stagnate. But what happens if it's close, and that's resulted in some of their, moments where they just haven't been quite as dominant on offense this season. But when they're on, they come out and they score a lot early. And that's what's really helped them in the postseason is Ohio State on the season scored 7.9 points per game in the first quarter in the regular season for the entire season. If you look at what they did in the postseason, they've averaged 14 points per game in the first quarter. It's a big difference. And that's kind of, that's going to be a big thing for Notre Dame. Now, here's the thing for Notre Dame. In the first quarter of the college football playoffs, Notre Dame is yet to allow a point in the first quarter. They haven't given up a single point in the first quarter yet against a team that is averaging 14 in the last three in their playoff games. What gives in this game? Can Notre Dame keep, if Notre Dame can keep their streak going, this is going to be a ball game. If Ohio State keeps their streak going, then this could get a little bit, this could get a little bit hairy for Notre Dame. When you look at Notre Dame in the last three games, Trevor, they haven't been as good in the first quarter offensively. They haven't been able to get really rolling in the first quarter. They didn't score a point against Penn State in the first quarter. They didn't score a point in the first quarter against Georgia. And they scored one against Indiana. Now, the one thing that makes that a little bit misleading is the second touchdown, they scored 7 points against Indiana in the first quarter. What makes that a little bit misleading is their second touchdown drive began with a lot of time left in the first quarter. But it was a 9-minute drive that ended in the second quarter. So I think that is going to be huge in this game. If Notre Dame's offense can't get started early, and it hasn't so far, and could they come out hot against Ohio State? Sure, they could. But it's hard for me to predict that a team that has scored a grand total of 7 points in three playoff games is going to then score 14 in the first quarter against the best defense they've played in the postseason. You know what I mean? So that means the defense has got to really be on top of their game early and lock Ohio State down. Now, the good news is the best team, the best defense that Ohio State played in the postseason held them to 7 points in the first 29 and a half minutes of the first half. I don't think Notre Dame gives up that 75-yard touchdown to Travion Henderson late in the first half. So if you can do what Texas did first 29 minutes, I feel really good about it. If they do to you what they did to Oregon and Tennessee, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night. So that's my final kind of big concern about this matchup.
Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. It's playoff time and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the playoffs. You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Prize Picks now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. This week on Prize Picks, I'm looking at the football board and selected Jared Goff for more than 230 passing yards and Saquon Barkley for more than one touchdown. Travis Kelce for more than 70 yards receiving and Lamar Jackson for more than 250 passing yards. Download the app today and use code IRISH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app today and use code IRISH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Yeah, my final one kind of ties into yours, and it's Notre Dame's inability to stop Jeremiah Smith. Look, there has been a clear correlation with the success that Ohio State has on offense when Jeremiah Smith is on and he's a focal point of the offense. And there's also a clear drop off in offensive production when he's not. I know Ohio State scored 38 points against IU as a team, but offensively they didn't play lights out.
That wasn't because of their offense.
No. And you go through and you look and see what Jeremiah Smith did in that game. He had three catches for 34 yards.
Yeah.
Right. You go through and you look at what happened against Michigan. He ended the day with five receptions for 35 yards. He had one target the entire second half.
Right.
The offense couldn't do anything. You look at what happened against Texas. Now, look, Texas had a good game plan for Jeremiah Smith. One catch for 3 yards is crazy. My expectation of Notre Dame secondary is to not hold Jeremiah Smith to one catch for 3 yards.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
No.
Right.
I mean, if that happens, we're talking, we're having a lot of fun on the postgame show. I'll leave it at that. But if you want to know what it looks like when you don't stop Jeremiah, and when I mean stop Jeremiah Smith, find the in-between of what he did to Oregon and what Texas did, right? It's containing. When you're going up against a guy of that caliber, it's containing. It's making his
Penn State.
Yes.
That's the example.
Yeah.
He went for 4 for 55 against Penn State. That's not locking him down, but that's keeping him from taking the game over, and he lost 20-13.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you Notre Dame, well, I shouldn't promise you. I feel way better about Notre Dame punching that ball in the end zone late in that game than I do Penn State just because of who Notre Dame has been,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that I think that is the middle ground that you were just talking about, Trev.
Yeah, absolutely. And because I think that there's a big misconception on both sides, right? It's Jeremiah Smith is going to have his way or Notre Dame is going to absolutely lock him down. I don't think it's going to be either or, but a concern that I have is, when Ohio State does jump out to those early leads, a lot of it is because Jeremiah Smith is just against Oregon. Half the time he wasn't covered, which is bananas to me. But in two games against Oregon this season, he had 16 catches for 287 yards and 3 touchdowns in two games against the same team.
And like on that one, that was it the first touchdown or the second touchdown where he just catches a little under route and there's nobody near him.
Yeah.
That's a fireable offense if you're a defensive coordinator.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. But that is my concern, right, is Jeremiah Smith starts to take games over. Because, like I said, there's a clear pattern against Tennessee, against Oregon twice. When Ohio State's offense is going early, number four is a focal point of the offense, and that's when they become really hard to stop. It is. And I know it might sound a little elementary. It's like, oh, Trev, you're saying that Ohio State's offense is good to stop when their best wide receiver is having a really good game? Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. So stopping Jeremiah Smith and the ability to contain him. I'm never going to not stop. But the inability to contain him, and he has a performance like he had against Tennessee. He has a performance like he had against Oregon both times. That is what's going to make me a little bit nervous, man. And that's going to make it really hard for Notre Dame to win this football game. It is.
I'm going to give you some data to back up your points.
Yeah.
In the win over Nebraska, he went 3 for 70. He had a 60-yard touchdown. And outside of that, he had 2 catches for 10 yards and only scored 21 points. Against Penn State, he went 4 for 55, didn't score. They scored 20 points. Against Indiana, he went 3 for 34. Like you mentioned, they scored 38 points. They scored 7 of those points with special teams. Another one was, I think, a 7-play touchdown drive. They had 2 other 40-yard touchdown drives. Their offense in that game, Trevor, only had 316 yards of offense because of short fields and special teams mistakes and stuff like that. They didn't lose that game because of their defense. Indiana lost that game because their offense and special teams were terrible. Michigan, 5 for 35. They scored 10 points. Texas, 1 for 3. They scored 21 points, offensive points. So, yeah. Now, how to do that? That's a different conversation for a different day. But, you know, because if – look, you've got to say, I love Cardonnell Tate. He's a good player. Wish he would have come to Notre Dame. All right. But with that being said, if I'm going to get beat by an Ohio State receiver, I'm going to have to make them beat you with him. And if they do, you tip your cap to him. You tip your cap to that team, and you say, you know what? That's why you're the champs. You know, I mean, that's basically how it is. That's the way you look at it. But you got to be able to pressure the quarterback. I mean, Nebraska had, you know, what, 3 sacks against Ohio State in that game, right? I mean, they were able to pressure the quarterback. Oregon had 0 sacks and 0 hits on the – actually, hold on, let me go. Yeah, let me go. Oregon had 0 sacks against Ohio State. Let me actually, I think I might've given you the wrong team on that one against Nebraska, but let me go here. So week 9 against Nebraska. Yeah. Nebraska had 3 sacks according to PFF. When you look at next week against Penn State, they gave up 2 sacks and 7 total pressures, but Donovan Jackson gave up 5 of them because he was playing left tackle. And when you consider they didn't throw the ball a ton down the field, it's a decent number of pressures in games where, you know, they were, effective getting pressure on the quarterback when Ohio State dropped back to throw it, and they had to move the pocket a lot. And Chip Kelly did a nice job of finding some ways to move the pocket, had to throw back to Mecca and do some different things. They did a nice job there. Michigan had no sacks, but 13 total pressures on the quarterback. So it's a pretty consistent theme in games where Ohio State has not had great success in games throwing the ball. They get pressure. They gave up 14 pressures against Texas, 3 sacks and 3 hits on the quarterback. Right. What you're talking about with Jeremiah Smith ties back into my number, one of my keys, why I think they're going to win. It's you've got to get pressure on the quarterback. It goes back to my key number one of what I'm concerned about. If you can't get pressure on the quarterback, look, if you don't get pressure on the quarterback, Jeremiah Smith's going to have a big day. If you do have pressure on the quarterback, you've got a shot at keeping him in check. Because I don't care who your cornerbacks are, you're not going to cover him for 4 seconds plus. You're just not. If Will Howard feels comfortable and he's got time and he can step into throws and do all, he's going to throw. He throws a pretty deep ball, Trev. He really does. It's not simple to accomplish for either team, but it's simple to look at and say that's going to be the game.
No, absolutely. And it all ties in together, to your point. Have to get pressure on Will Howard, and the defense is going to have to do what they can to contain Jeremiah Smith. So that's going to do it for the areas of concern that Brian and I have for this Notre Dame-Ohio State National Championship game. But don't go anywhere, guys. We're getting ready to talk about game wreckers on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. But before we get there, of course, be sure to hit that like button, that subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you guys watch us on. And be sure to go and check out the premium message boards where Brian has a couple of film breakdowns out. We have a lot of exclusive content talking about everything leading up to this game. And, of course, through all season long, we talk everything college football on the message board. So best way to do that is if you go to boards.irishbreakdown.com. It's the best way to support us. And it's a really good community over there, guys. I mean, if you're not a part of that community already, it's really fun to be around. So you can find all that at boards.irishbreakdown.com.